Our reading for Friday, May 8th begins in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we all are here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. So going back to the beginning of our reading, Paul and Barnabas decide that it would be good for them to go back to where they had already been in order to encourage the brethren, visit them, see how they're doing. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him. And so they have a disagreement over this. This disagreement leads to two things. First of all, Barnabas, being that son of encouragement that he is, gives John Mark another chance, and he departs away from Paul, goes on his own, taking John Mark with him. Paul chooses Silas and goes a different way. Now, we could look at this and point out that they had a dispute that was strong enough that these two co-workers in the gospel went separate ways. But think about this as well, that it led to more ground being covered because now you had two teams instead of one. Just want to realize that positive aspect of it. I do not believe that what happened between Barnabas and Paul involved sin here. I do not believe that the two of them acted sinfully. Now, I don't have, you know, all the details of the situation. Luke didn't record them for him. But I do know that later on, Paul commends Barnabas, and he commends John Mark. So this gets resolved between them. So this is simply a personal choice and a personal dispute between them. Paul had every right to choose who he wanted to be his co-workers and to travel with. Barnabas likewise had every right to make the same choices, and they did make their choices. Chapter 16, Paul finds Timothy. Timothy, of course, becomes his son in the gospel, if you will. We have the letters 1st and 2nd Timothy that were written to him by the pen of Paul, and shows what a close relationship the two had. And so Timothy, in many ways, was mentored by Paul to be an evangelist. And so that was the beginning of their relationship. We have the recording of the Holy Spirit directing where they were to go in order to preach the gospel, ending up in Macedonia and then eventually in Philippi. So we find Lydia. They apparently did not have a synagogue in this area, but they had an area that, for some reason, seemed obvious to them that believers would gather and pray. And so they go to this spot, and that is indeed what they find. There were some women that came together there, and they talked to them, and Lydia was one of those people. So after she was baptized, and it says her household as well, she urged them, "If you have judged me faithful, come to my house and stay." She wanted to provide some hospitality. Hospitality was a bigger deal in the first century than it is for us today. Yes, there were still inns that were around, but there was a cultural expectation that if you knew that someone was a traveler, that you should provide for them. You should provide them some food and some rest. And, of course, when the church is established and then these men are going around and preaching, that hospitality becomes a very important part of providing for these men as well. So she does. She is appreciative of their preaching of the gospel, and she provides that hospitality. But over the course of their time here, there are those that get upset at the preaching that is going on. That is because you had this slave girl who had a spirit of divination. That means that she was able to reveal some things, and one of the things that she reveals at this point is absolute truth. Verse 17, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." It's not that she was saying anything that was untrue. But it was the matter of the source. They didn't like the source. At least that's the way I view it. You know, if you have somebody that you know that they're possessed, you know that that is a spirit that is involved, and they're probably involved with certain pagan practices as well, that's not the ones you want testifying about the truth that you are giving. And so it says that Paul became greatly annoyed. I don't know if there's maybe more to the situation here that Luke doesn't record, but just what it says, Paul became greatly annoyed, and he commands the spirit to come out, and it does. But for the owners of this slave, this was a source of income. And so this upsets them greatly. They seize Paul and Silas. They drag him before the rulers. And they say, these men are Jews. They're disturbing our city. Well, they're not really disturbing the city. If anybody's disturbing the city, it's the slave owner, because they're the ones stirring everybody up. So, you know, false testimony being given here. And then verse 21, they advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or to practice. So basically the accusation that they are bringing against them is that they are introducing some sort of new religion. And under Roman law at the time, any new religion had to be approved by the Roman Senate. So was it technically true? Perhaps. Was it something that they should have been hauled before the magistrates for? No, there were protections under the law for Paul and Silas as well. But it's because of the crowd that the politicians, the magistrates, act. They order them to be beaten with rods. They inflict many blows. They threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them securely. And it's always interesting in this account to me the way that Paul and Silas react to this. There's no woe is me attitude. There's no mourning. There's no crying about it. They are praying and they are singing hymns to God, and they are doing that in such a way in which the prisoners were able to listen to them. Then there is this miraculous event, this earthquake. The prison is shaken. The doors are opened. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. The jailer sees this. He realizes that prisoners escaping that were under his authority would have cost him his life, perhaps would have cost him his life in a gruesome death. And so he's about to kill himself to control his own destiny and the way that he dies. But Paul cries out, "Don't harm yourself, we're here." The jailer calls for lights, rushes in, trembling with fear. He falls down and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, what's the motivation behind this question? Why is he asking this? Well, surely he has seen the miraculous event. Surely he has seen the earthquake leading to doors opening and shackles being loosed. Don't know about you, but I've never heard of an earthquake that had that type of an effect. Usually buildings fall down, things crack, things break, but you don't hear doors just opening and shackles opening. So it's obvious it's a miraculous event. And this question is probably motivated by some of the things that the prisoners were hearing, and he probably would have heard them as well. But the answer is, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. So when he sees this miraculous event and he knows what kind of men these are, that leads him to one conclusion. There is a God who is in authority who he would be subject to. And so he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they give him the answer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." And of course, think back to when we were studying the book of John, or reading through John, that when we came across believe, we recognized that believe meant more than just an intellectual exercise. Believe meant faith. It meant obedience. So believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him. There needed to be more given. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They couldn't believe in the Lord Jesus unless they knew who he was and knew more information about him. So they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them and he washed their wounds and he was baptized, he and all of his family. He obeyed those words that he heard. Then he cares for them, gives them food, and they are rejoicing. for they had believed in God. Now the magistrates come back the next day, say, okay, they've been kept in prison, we've beaten them, let them go. Paul now tells them, hey, we're Roman citizens. You want to go and just throw us out in secret after doing these public things? You know, he wanted them to, yes, give an apology, but if you're going to publicly ridicule them, then he wanted some sort of public acknowledgement that they were wrongfully accused. And, of course, they're fearful when they find out that they were Roman citizens. It was unlawful for them to be beaten in this way as Roman citizens. And so they're going to do anything they can to try to make up for that so that they don't get reported to the Roman government. So they come, they apologize to them, they take them out, they ask them to leave the city. And so they go out, they visit Lydia, they visit the brothers, they encourage them before they go and depart. And that concludes chapter 16. We will pick up with chapter 17 tomorrow. I hope that you will come back and join with me in reading that chapter as well. And I ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.